right, you guys ready for this? One of the things that I have learned so much in this house is, from these two right here, is patience and grace. Lots of grace. I don't remember, I think it was a year and a half ago, so I said something to Pastor. I'm like, you are the most graceful person ever. Like, you want to cut someone, and he's like, grace, grace. But I have learned so much in the past almost 10 years of being here from those two right there. And guys, it is because of them that we are still moving forward. They don't give up. Do not give up, and I love that. But in the sense of not giving up, we are continuing with our what to do when God says not yet. And that's another thing I have learned since I've been here is to be able to pause and say, okay, God, why is things not moving forward? Because it's definitely a not yet for right now, right? In our personal lives and corporately. You know, in the beginning of us going through this not yet series, let me pray first. Actually, I just want to pause for just a minute. I know we've had a lot of prayer, a lot of that time, but they took up a lot of my time, so y'all will be here till noon. Just say and get ready. So, Father, I thank you just for the truth of your word today. I thank you that you have chosen me as a vessel to use, God. Father, I surrender myself to you, and just as the song we were singing earlier says, God, that pretty much I am nothing without you. So, Father, I surrender everything to you, this word to you, my heart to you, and I ask that you open our hearts to receive everything that you have to give us today, God. We give you glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So, the first week, Pastor brought to us what to do when God says not yet. We talked about we need to take the time to, we need to obey, right? He used the story out of Kings and the lady who obeyed the prophet. We need to be willing to be different. We are aliens and strangers to the world, but not to the kingdom of God. So that means we look different to the world. Amen? Where it's okay to be different. And then to tell our story. Because at the end of all of this, there's always a story to tell. And we learned Friday night through a testimony can come much healing, and not only for us, but for other people. Because that's how we overcome. Last week, we talked about our prophetic picture. Pastor gave us a picture of our future as kingdom citizens. We are carriers of the glory of God. We are carriers of his presence, right? And that still goes back to the place of we're going to look different. We are going to look different. Growing up, I personally did not like to be told not yet. I did not. You can ask my mother and my husband both. I tease my husband because he married me at 17, so he kind of half-raised me. So in the not yets, there would be the pouting still, you know, looking out the window, not talking, because he said not yet. I didn't like the not yets. I was the most impatient person ever. If I don't buy it, if I don't get it right now, it might be gone tomorrow. Not yet. We'd go look at cars, 3 to 5 days of looking at vehicles. I'm like, that one was good 3 days ago. Not yet. Not yet. It's just been something I had to grow into. As we mature into adulthood, that's one thing we begin to see is that the not yets are protecting us. The not yets are changing us. The not yets are growing us, right? There's a maturity that comes with that. I kind of see that even as we've been talking a lot about going from sons to citizens, from sons to mature citizens. The sons are still out squandering. We're still out just playing because we don't want to hear the not yets, but mature citizens know when to take the pause and when to listen. We need to see that some of these are to slow us down and help us to refocus on what's most important in our lives. Some of them are to slow us down and help us see that not everything in us can go with us to the next. And that's what I want to focus on today. Sometimes God's going to stop us because we're carrying some stuff inside of us that can't go to the next level with us. And I believe that as we move forward into this, I'm just going to keep calling it the ark. As we move forward in this ark, we need to be mature, pure, holy, true, glory-carrying citizens, because how are we going to transform a world when we are not transformed ourselves? There's so much in us that has to take place. And so we're going to talk today about getting rid of some of the stuff that's in there that we don't need. I believe we're in a season that God is calling us out because he desires to take us higher, and that means we have to be able to go deeper. If you guys ever heard that, it's like he wants to take us higher, but we have to go deeper in him. There has to be a root system, because if you go too high without a solid root system, you're going to blow over. Have to have that solid root system. This means not despising the not yet. Don't despise it, but use it to our advantage in this season. Let's use it to our advantage. Let's do some internal inventory of our focus and the things that may be hidden deep inside of us, keeping us from that next. So last week, again, we went through Jeremiah 29. Pastor brought that out to show us our prophetic picture. In the beginning of this, God had sent Judah and Jerusalem into exile because of their waxing and their waning and their going back and forth with relationship with him. If you guys ever, I think you've heard me say this before, but if you ever go through and read the story of the children of Israel, oh my gosh, the ups and the downs and the waxing and waning, and God said, okay, I'm going to put you into exile and Babylon's going to be over you for 70 years. And at the end of that 70 years, I'll pretty much wipe Babylon out and I'll bring you to your prophetic future, your hope. But in the meantime, he said, build and live. Plant and eat. Marry and multiply. Do not decrease. He said, pray over the enemies, right? Pray over those holding you captive. But one thing that he said in there that pointed, that I picked up, was he said, and do not let them deceive you. Do not let them deceive you. While you're planting, while you're building and living, don't build in their ways. When you're planting and eating, don't eat of their foods. Whenever you're marrying and multiplying, at that time it was do not marry into their culture. Okay? Do not let them deceive you. Two-thirds way through the exile, Jeremiah comes back in chapters 50 and 51, and he's once again having to call them out. Separate yourselves. He's like, come on, guys, separate yourselves. Because Babylon was going to be destroyed. And if they didn't separate themselves, they were going to fall into the same destruction. So they had to separate themselves. But they weren't heeding to the voice of God. They weren't heeding to Jeremiah the prophet. And you'll see that they did this many, many times through their history. Instead of them holding tight to the ways of God, they allowed the deception, as they built, planted, married, and more, they became accustomed to or acclimated to the culture of Babylon and their gods. Think about that for a minute. As the church, do we not see this exact same thing in the world today? So much of the church has acclimated into the ways of the world that we can't tell the difference between the two. And if we're going to fulfill the greatest commission ever, the Great Commission, we have to look different. We have to act different. We have to talk different. We cannot be accustomed to the world's culture anymore. And that's because God is calling us out. He has an amazing call. And I'm not saying just on this body, but there's been words over this body that it's going to change the region. We are a lighthouse to this area. We are going to, because of what God's doing in us, it's going to change people. Life transformation. How is that going to happen if we're not letting it happen in us first? So how did we get here? It's probably a really good question, right? How do we get acclimated to these things? Let's look at Jeremiah 51:51. He said, we are ashamed because we have heard reproach or rebuke. Disgrace and dishonor, confusion and shame has covered our faces. For aliens have entered the holy places of the Lord's house. We've talked a lot about aliens over the past few weeks, right? Because we're not strangers or aliens. But the alien that is used here is not the same word that Paul uses. Paul's is about, we're journeys. You know, we're on a journey. We're in a strange place and those things. But this word alien is in reference to Babylon's ways of idolatry. Their ways of idolatry. The people allowed their ways into their temple. He said, you have allowed aliens to enter the holy places of the Lord, the inside of us. The temple is where the presence of God was to dwell and nothing else. Nothing. The only ones that were supposed to come into the temple were the priests who had gone through massive consecration, and it was like 7 days worth of cleansing that they had to go through to even enter the temple. And then they would tie ropes around them just in case there wasn't something that was done right, because if you got in the presence of God, boom, you were gone, and they would have to drag them back out. That's how holy God is, and we can't mix anything with that. But they opened the doors because they became comfortable. They opened the doors to just whatever and whoever wanted to enter into their temples. Guys, there's a lot in that we can glean from. So many of us, the church as a whole, and when you guys hear me talk about the church, I'm not talking about just us. I'm talking about the world, the church all over, the bride of Christ that he's calling out right now. We've climbed into the same place of comfort and conformity. We've gotten cozy in the world, and we've invited their ways into our temples, their aliens into our temples. And it happens with what we do through the doors of our life. What are we watching? What are we allowing into our inner man? What are we becoming accustomed to that to us it's okay, but it's actually just you're becoming accustomed to the world? I will never forget, and this is, you know, something that spoke to me, but I remember once whenever I was in middle school, my youth pastor was talking to me one day. I was asking him what it meant to be, not be transformed, to be renewed and not be transformed, or be transformed by the renewing of the word, but not be conformed to the world. And he said, this is the best way I can explain it. He said, if you ever watch a movie, it's kind of the way he explained it to me, and the sex, the language, the things of the world no longer affect you, because it's just like, oh, well, he said, you've become accustomed. And I was like, oh, snap. And that is something I've never forgotten. And I get, you know, there's times that I get made fun of because there's certain things like I can't watch because it does something in here. And it's like, it's not that I'm judging, it grieves me. And so when we become accustomed to the world is when we become, when things become okay for us. Ah, just a show. It's just whatever. Has to come out. What are we listening to? What are we allowing in? What kind of music? You know, honestly, watch even the preachers you're listening to. Not everybody out there is preaching the same thing that God's preaching. A lot of them are on an agenda to just get you on their agenda. Watch what you're allowing in your ears. Prophetically, everything. Watch what you're allowing in your ears. If you have a question about it, compare what they're saying to the Word of God. Come to a leader and say, what do you think about this? I have, Karina is very good at that. She'll message me little things and she'll say, I'm not sure what I feel about this. What do you feel? And I'll either say that's right on or, you need to cut that off and don't even listen to it anymore. You have to be careful what you let in. What about the words we speak? We were singing this morning about coming into agreement. Are we coming into agreement with the lies of the enemy? Or are we coming into agreement with the truth of the Word of God? We have to start watching our mouths. We speak life or we speak death. We create our future with the words that come out of our mouths. Are we creating destruction or are we creating life? Think about that. Remember, Peter says that we are citizens of the kingdom of God, built in the holy place of the Lord, built into the holy place of the Lord. We are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, the carriers of his presence. The carriers of his presence. Are we trying to mix things up? Because it's not going to work. In Ephesians 2:19 through 22, and then in 1 Corinthians 3, Paul says, we are the temple of God where his presence now dwells. Guys, I know this is a hard word this morning, but we have to get to our next. And it's time to get to our next. I posted something yesterday and Pastor Gone, and he said, not yet, but soon. It's soon. But we need to do an inventory to get ourselves ready to get to that next. Amen? It is soon. I can feel it. I can feel it. So are we honoring and revering his presence in us by guarding our doors, or are we just letting anything in? I hope this gets deep inside each and every one of us today. Do you know there are ways or idols of this world? Did you know the ways or idols of this world and the presence of God do not mix? It's like oil and water. You can shake it and shake it and shake it, and it's not going to mix. I want to tell you guys a story out of 1 Samuel 5 about the Philistines trying to take the Ark of the Covenant. Okay, the presence of God. So they take the Ark of the Covenant, and they think it would be pretty cool to put the Ark inside of their God's temple, the God of Dagon. I think I said that right. The next morning, they wake up, and their statue of Dagon is laying face first on the ground. They're like, pick it up, dust it off, set it back on its pedestal. They go back about their business. Come back the next morning, Dagon is laying on the ground, head busted off, hands gone, shattered. It can't last in the presence of God. Nothing can last in the presence of God, and we have to quit doing that. I feel like we do the same thing. As I began to read that, I felt like the Holy Spirit said, we do the same thing. The Holy Spirit's exposing things into our lives, and we're like, but it's okay. I mean, it's not going to send me to hell. Let me put it back on the altar. And he's trying to knock it down. He's putting it on, laying it on its face before us, and we're still picking them back up and putting them back in. It's got to stop. If we're going to get to the next, it's got to stop. We have to get to this place where it's only God, like the presence of God sitting on the pedestals of our heart. The presence of God. I love how Moses, you know, he went and he was like, if you do not go with me, I will not go. And to me, that needs to be our heart's cry. God, I will not go forward until you are the only one on the throne of my heart. Not self, not others, not things. You and you alone. Guys, that's protecting his presence in our lives. And that's our job because we are his temple. Amen? Peter is very clear through his letters that we are to lay down everything of this world and be holy because God is holy. To be holy is to be set apart. We're going to go back to that place of being different. We're different. We're not going to look the same. Get used to it. I don't care who makes fun of you. If you are part of the greatest commission ever, which is God's commission, making disciples that make disciples and getting out there and getting this harvest, you're going to look different. Your armor is going to be, actually, you're going to have armor. They're not. You are going to look different than the rest. So, we have to set ourselves apart. Just as Jeremiah was saying to Judah and to Jerusalem, set yourselves apart. And God is saying the same thing to us today. Amen? Set ourselves apart. That means, again, we are meant to be different. We are aliens of this world and citizens of the kingdom of God with an earthly mandate to bring life transformation. In every channel of culture, that's arts and entertainment, that's media, that's family, education, religion, bringing God back into the church where he belongs, and then business and government, which we will be seeing a lot, or we're seeing a lot of that happen right now. It is time to get back into that. We cannot carry life transformation into these kingdoms, into this world, if we are living lives untransformed. I want you guys to hear that. We have to live lives transformed to do what God's called us to do. He needs kingdom citizens that are renewed daily through the word instead of following daily the influences of the world. Yeah. We have to quit following the influences of the world. Again, Romans 12:2 says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Guys, when we find ourselves, our behaviors, our attitudes, our actions, our lives in general, looking identical to everything else around us besides the word of God, God's going to say not yet. And we better heed that and get before him on our faces. I'm going to give you guys some questions in a minute that are going to bring a place where you can set before him and you can say, okay, God, help me take this spiritual inventory. I want to know what's in me so I can get to the next. Let's get rid of it. This is why we have to daily do this. We have to daily do this. You know, the word says, search me, God, and know my heart. Is anybody in here brave enough to pray that? It's a dangerous prayer. It truly, truly is, because when he starts to search, the idols are going to fall, and you have to make the decision not to pick them back up. They have to fall. Amen? Amen. So as we go through this, we're going to break down Jeremiah 51:51. And as we go through, I'm going to give you guys, I think it's four questions to ask the Holy Spirit. Like I'm talking, don't get in your prayer room and ask you, because you are not going to answer. Because flesh doesn't want to be crucified. Flesh wants to be glorified. Holy Spirit wants to crucify the flesh so that he can be glorified. Amen? So let's go back. We are ashamed because we have heard reproach. Disgrace has covered our faces, and aliens have entered the holy places of the Lord. That word alien there is the word zur, and it means estranged, to commit adultery, to profane, leaving a set-apart lifestyle and the truth of God. Now, I want you to look at these. These were the idolatrous ways of Babylon, but we're going to turn them into the ways of our spiritual life, okay? So number one question, how is my relationship with God? Don't look around you and compare your relationship with anybody else. How's mine? How am I doing? Exodus 34 says, do not worship any other god, for the Lord, whose name is jealous, is a jealous God. We can't worship without relationship. That word estranged is no longer close or affectionate. It's to be cut off. Are we estranged from God? I promise you, you'll be able to tell by the way that you worship, by the way that you converse with other people. Are you estranged from God? If you're unable to enter into worship, this is something that the Holy Spirit has been showing me, into that deep reverence with God, check that relationship. Is it a fleeing in need when in need? Or are you daily, continually sacrificing and abiding? God doesn't want a fleeing. He wants all of us. Every single part of us. John 15:4-5 says, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Nothing. Did you know at the beginning of that, it says, Jesus says, I am the vine and my Father is the vine dresser. If we aren't letting the Holy Spirit in there, letting God come in and dress our dress us, prune us, do the work that a vine dresser does, oh my gosh. Guys, we'll step into dangerous things. We have to abide. That keeps us out of the flesh. Amen? James 4:8 says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Clean your hands. Purify your hearts. Guys, this is the only way that we can build relationship with him, is to purify ourselves, to get before him. Get before him and ask the question, how's my relationship? How's our relationship, God? Reveal the things to me that I'm putting before you. Question number 2. Am I seeking the things of the world over the heart of God? What drives me? The second part of that meaning is those who commit adultery. That word adultery is figuratively equivalent to being faithless to God and unclean. It's not only a sexual sin. Spiritually being unfaithful to God. How often do we do that? By just, we're more faithful to other people or to the things of the world. James 4:4-5 says, you adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is hostility towards God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Do you think that the scripture speaks to no purpose? He asks that. Do you think the scripture speaks to no purpose? He jealously desires the spirit which he made to dwell in us. He wants us. He wants every part of us. The world there is the word worldly affairs, the whole circle of earthly goods, endowments, riches, advantages, all of that stuff. What drives you? The world's ways or the ways of the word? The truth. Guys, he wants every single part. He wants our spirit alive in him through Jesus Christ. He wants our spirit alive in him. He wants our soul renewed in him. That's what this inventory is for. Yeah. Let's get our souls renewed in him. He wants our bodies surrendered to the kingdom work. Yeah. Guys, he needs us. I know we hear people say God doesn't need anybody, but he created us to do a work. Yeah. He's done his job. Yeah. He has now empowered you, and we have transformation to bring. He wants spirit, soul, and body. Every single ounce of us. Every part of it. When we can no longer have one foot in and one foot out, we can no longer mix the oil and the water, it's all or nothing. When we are seeking first the kingdom of God, guys, everything else will line up. Stop seeking the things of the world and start seeking first the kingdom. Because those desires that you think you need in the world, that's going to change, and your desire is going to become more about him. And he'll give you then what you need. Yeah. Amen? Number 3, what's in my temple? This is the scariest question of all. This goes back to search me, God, and know me. What is in my temple? The third meaning of this word, aliens, is the word profane, to profane. It means secular, irreverence, unconsecrated, worldly, disrespectful, idolatrous. These are the soulish things that we've allowed inside of our temples. These are the things that we are, most of the church is walking by today. The ways of the world or the aliens of the world have made themselves at home, and it's time to expel them. It's time to let them go because we have a mandate, right? One thing I want you guys to see is that a lot of times this kind of stuff happens in our lives because of deception. Even by people that we love and that we respect and that we look up to, deception. Like I said a minute ago, watch what you're allowing in your ears, because even those we see as preachers or whatever, there's deception. And we have to be careful of that. I want to read you guys Ephesians 5, 1 through 10. It says, are you guys there? I'll give you guys time to get there real quick. Ephesians 5, 1 through 10. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love, just as Christ also loved you, and he gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. But immorality, or an impurity or greed, must not even be named among you, as is proper among the saints. And there must be no filthiness or silly talk or coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving thanks. For this you know with certainty, that no immoral or impure person or covetous man who is an idolater has an inheritance in the kingdom of God, of Christ and God. I want you to think about that. So many times we walk around wondering, why am I not seeing the power of God in my life? Why am I not seeing righteousness, peace, and joy? Why am I not walking in the dominion and the authority and the power that he gave me to walk in? Because we're allowing things that are pretty much canceling out the presence of God in our life. We're allowing things that's not the kingdom of God. When we're allowing this kind of stuff in our life, immorality, impurity, covetousness, all of this stuff, idolatry, we're hindering the walk, the power of God. We're hindering the kingdom of God in our lives, okay? You guys get that? We're hindering the kingdom of God in our lives. And then he says in verse 6, let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them, for you were merely darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. And then he's just calling us out. He says, try to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. He says, do not let them deceive you. How many times have you guys talked to somebody who claims to be a Christian, but they tell you, that's not bad. It's okay. You can do that. It's not going to send you to hell. Come on. And we agree, right? Because it's like, well, they're a Christian, so that must be okay that they're doing that. So I'm going to go, oh, it's okay. I'll do that. No, it may not send you to hell, but you're not going to walk in the inheritance of the kingdom of God. And how are we, as the children of God, as carriers of the presence, going to bring life transformation into a world if we aren't walking in the fullness of the kingdom of God? We have to let go of this stuff out of our lives, and we got to quit letting people deceive us. If it does not line up with the Word of God fully, no twisting, no turning, if it doesn't line up, it's not truth. It is not truth. So the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy. If we're not experiencing that in our life, we need to take inventory. We need to seek God. Colossians 3:5 says, therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. Guys, he tells us, consider your earthly man dead to this stuff. And when I want you to think about immorality, I did a word study on that here a while back. It's not just sexually immoral sin. Immorality, Paul says, is any sin against the body. Immorality is addiction. It is the sexual sin. It is anything that we are harming our temple with. It is sin against the body. That kind of stuff is going to keep us from fully walking in the wholeness of God. Okay? When God is number one, there is no room for anything else. There's none. And we learn that. That's one thing I will say is that the more you spend time with him and the more you build relationship with him and the more you sacrifice and you surrender, it changes. So much changes. 1 John 5:21 says, little children, guard yourselves from idols. You notice he says, little children, guard yourselves from idols, because I truly believe that as we mature and we grow into Christ and we become mature citizens, we will still have to guard ourselves from idols, but they will no longer, you know what I'm saying? They'll no longer be a massive hindrance in our life because we'll recognize it and we'll cut it off. But children don't know that yet. So they have to guard themselves. 1 Corinthians 10:6 through 11 says, now these things happened as examples for us. All the stuff he's talking about in the Old Testament from the Israelites. So that we would not crave evil things as they also crave. Do not be idolaters as some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and they stood up to play. Don't let us act immorally as some of them did, and 23,000 fell in one day. Nor let us try the Lord as some of them did and were destroyed by the serpents. Don't grumble as some of them did. don't do the things that the Israelites did. He's just calling us out. You guys, it's a pattern. And it's time to put a stop to it. It's time to put a stop to the pattern the Israelites started. Amen? It's time to change. 1 John 2:15 through 17 says, "Do not love the world nor the things or the aliens of it. If anyone loves the world, the love of God is not in him." That is where transformation comes from. The love of God inside of us, letting him into every single part of us. Kind of like a liquid going into something and it just goes into every crack and crevice. That's what the love of God does. He said, "The world is passing away and also its lust, but the one who does the will of God lives forever." Forever, guys. Again, what's in our temple? To be completely honest with you, ask somebody who knows you, because our fruit will tell what's in our temple. Our fruit's going to. We're going to notice, because I'm telling you again, if you come in here on a Sunday morning and you aren't able to fully enter into worship, and I'm not, everybody worships in their own way, so don't think I'm judging because of a certain posture or something, but if you're struggling to enter into worship on a Sunday morning, you need to check what's in your temple, because you should be worshiping 24/7 every single day, 24/7. We should be living in that lifestyle, and when we walk into this house, we're already there, and we're just pouring it out on other people. Instead of coming in here and just drawing and drawing and drawing, and then by the time the last song hits, we're like, oh, I was just there. And nope, I guess I'm not going to get there. Guys, we should live it. We should live it and we should breathe it. What is in our temple? So again, what is in our temple will come out in our actions, our words, and our behaviors. Last question. Am I allowing the things of this world to draw me away from a lifestyle that is set apart and from the truth of God? Am I allowing the things of this world to draw me away from a lifestyle that is set apart and from the truth of God? The last meaning there was those who have departed from righteousness, from the righteous lifestyle, that means set apart and holy, and who have departed from the truth. In 1 Peter 2:5, he says, "You also, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." We are called a holy people. Are we allowing the things of this world to draw us away from that lifestyle? Are we more drawn to just the pleasures of the flesh than the pleasures of the truth? I'm telling you, the truth will always win. It'll always win if we will just let it in. Amen? It'll always win. We're a people that are supposed to live lives set apart unto God, sacrificing self, personal agendas, our desires, our wants, everything, like the world around us. We are to sacrifice everything. And here's the deal. I truly believe many times everything outwardly is ready. I truly do. I believe many times God's like, I've got it ready. But we're refusing to remove things from the altar. And God says, not yet. Because what I have to do with you as an individual, and what I have to do corporately with this body, and what I have to do corporately with the whole church as a whole, you're not ready. Why would he do that? To protect us. Let me tell you something. If we were to go out in the posture that many of us are in right now and try to do what we're seeing, the vision, the dream, the hope, everything that God has called us to, the world will suck us in so fast. It'll suck us in so fast because we're just like that. We have to be set apart. We have to be unrecognizable by the world. Amen? And so we have to quit. I don't know, guys. It's God loves us too much. He loves us too much to let us do something that's going to destroy us. So don't despise the not yet. Let's get on our faces and let him work. Let's not be sucked in to the ways like Judah and Jerusalem and Israel and the way that the church has become. He loves us too much. But I want to see the dream. I want to see life transformation in all seven channels of culture. I want to see God go in and just recklessly, just with his reckless love, just wreck this world. I want to see lives changed and on their face before God, and things just, signs and wonders and miracles, people walking in crippled, walking out whole. I want to see them walking in sick and walking out well. Guys, I want to see God move. And we will not walk in the fullness of the kingdom of God with these things inside of us. We won't. And so that's kind of even my plea to you through the Holy Spirit. Get on our faces. It's time for sacrifice. It's time to sacrifice ourselves. There's so much we'll learn. There's so many things that He will do inside of us. I believe that it's time for change locally. That's us personally, sorry. That's us personally. Regionally, that's us corporately, so that we can go global and bring life transformation. Amen. It's time to send kingdom citizens full of the power of the Holy Spirit into the government, into the media, into education, into business, into the arts and entertainment, into the home, changing families, going back into the family, taking what we have and going into the families and bringing transformation. Guys, I can guarantee you, I feel like I can guarantee you 100%, but I don't want to do that. But I can guarantee you, if we will begin to let God go in and search us, if we will begin to take inventory and let Him change us and transform us, divorce rates would be down in the church. All of the things that would be that are happening in the church right now, that we look so much like the world, it would be gone. Because we're seeking Him first. And those are that's taking the kingdom of God back into the families, and the families would be healthy again. We would have men serving where they need to serve and women serving where they need to serve and our kids doing the things that they need to do, taking it back into the schools. It would be all-encompassing, right? Yeah, come on. That's what we're here for. We need to be revolutionizing these mountains for the kingdom of God, which is not religion. It's built on relationship. It functions in authority and power, and it flows with grace and truth, and it leaves a wake of life transformation behind it. That's what we're called to do. And it starts with us, guys. It starts with us. We can't do it again if we aren't willing to see the areas of immaturity in us, if we aren't willing to just be real with ourselves. Guys, we all have it. We all have different things that we allow into those places that are just, we all do. But if we'll just get before God, He'll reveal it, and it can be removed. Will we maybe struggle with it again? Yes, but we'll recognize it quickly and be able to cut it off. We won't put that idol back on its pedestal. It starts with us. We have to be able to go in and just let Him take the things out that doesn't belong, the spiritual adultery with the world, idolatry with self-agenda, greed, and fleshly desires, estrangement from God. Guys, I wish that we could realize how much He truly just wants all of us. Nothing else. Profaning our temples, the lack of reverence for our God, respect for each other, hunger for His truth, and a desire to stay connected to Him, choosing to be of the world or of the Word, and not, I totally did this backwards, choosing to be of the Word, consecrated and set apart. These are the things that we have to do. For us to actively stay in this place of internal searching, I think the worship team's going to come up and sing for us here in just a second. We need to be empowered by the Holy Spirit, because He goes in and He exposes things. He exposes what is hidden. We got to stay in the Word, because that's our mirror. That's going to tell us what's in us that shouldn't be. That's our mirror. We need to pray, especially in the Spirit, if you have your prayer language, daily, constantly in prayer. I like to call it daily constant communication, because it's just a daily thing. You have your time with Him at one point, but then daily you're just constantly you're communicating. And we also need to be accountable to each other. Iron sharpens iron, and sometimes we don't see the unhealthy things inside of us because we're so used to it. But we have to be real with each other. And when we're accountable to each other, guys, it brings growth. Don't get mad when somebody that loves you comes up and says, hey, I'm seeing something in you that doesn't seem right. Pray about it. I remember one time when we lived in Georgia, I did not like Not Yet. Did not like it. And our pastor at that point came up to me one time, and he was trying to correct me on something, and I did not like that. And it was kind of him wanting me to wait on something. And I remember him sitting down with me, and after I threw my hissy fit, and he said, you can get offended at me for correcting you, Or you can go and you can ask God, what do you need to do? Because there's some change that needs to happen and it's going to be in you. And I was like, but I did. And I learned from that day on not to get offended when somebody says something to me, but to search me first. If it doesn't line up with the word, then I discard it. But if it does, then I change it. And that's the heart we have to have with each other. The enemy's used offense also for way too long in the church. It's time to grow up, right? Amen. So this morning, I wanted to do something a little bit different. I want to open the altar up. Not for us to lay hands on you, not for anything like that. If you do need separate prayer, then come and get one of the prayer leaders. But I want to open the altars up for you to come and give of yourself. Guys, it's time to lay ourselves on the altar. It's time to let him come in and do this spiritual inventory and let him bring change in our lives. There's too much for us to do to keep playing around and riding the fence. Amen. You know, a lot of times we don't see stepping forward and coming up as important. But I'm a firm believer that sometimes we need to mix a little bit of action with our faith. God can meet you where you're at. But there's something about sacrifice. Doesn't matter who sees. Doesn't matter what anybody thinks. God, this is about you and you alone. And I'm going to come up here and I'm going to give myself fully to you no matter what. And that's what it's about. That's why I'm opening the altar this morning, because this is about you and God. So take that step of faith, take that place, and come and just worship him as they sing this last song here. And then I will come back up and pray over you, and we'll be ready to go.
Give us clean hands.
So give us clean hands. Give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. Give us clean hands. Give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. Turn our eyes from evil things. Oh Lord, we cast down our idols. Give us clean hands. Give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. Give us clean hands. Give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. Oh God, let us be a generation that seeks your face. Oh God of Jacob. Oh God, let us be a generation that seeks your face. Oh God of Jacob, give us clean hands and give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our soul to another. Give us clean hands, give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our soul to another. Oh God, let us be a generation that seeks your face. Oh God of Jacob. No, God, let us be a generation that seeks your
You in this house today, God, we want to be the generation that seeks your face, Father, and we bring transformation. God, I want to see that. God, I want to see life transformation, and I want to see it in this generation, God. Father, I thank you that you've called us out from among the rest. I thank you for a people that's willing to be different. And I ask that everybody brought up to these altars today, God, that they have the strength to never pick it back up. We give you glory in this house today, God, and we magnify you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Guys, have an amazing, amazing week.